Welcome, everyone. It's time for Living the Good Life right here from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And we're very glad to have every single one of you joining us today for this great time in the Word we're about to have. Always love it. It's always good. And so glad you're joining us today on podcast or perhaps live, whatever it is. Glad you're with us. And we've got a full house in our studio today. We've got Pastor Jim Ellsbury, my associate pastor, who's absolutely going to be on here in a minute when he gets everything hooked up in there. And Dr. Angel Falzone, who does the Thursday night show with me. Dr. Angel and actually Nan's in the studio, but she's really not on the show, but she's in the studio. So you never know. You never know if you'll hear from her at all. You might, or you may not.
I'm just here to...
What's that?
I'm just here to keep an eye on everybody, make sure you do what you're supposed to do today, Pastor.
Is that it?
That's it,
all
Pastor.
Right. Okay, Nan, we'll let you do that. Okay,
thanks.
All right. Had a great service today. This is a very important day. It's Pentecost Sunday. You heard that from our good people that were on right before us. Pentecost Sunday. Great day. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, and we're also going to talk about our series we are in right now, Forever Home. And we could say it that way, Forever Home, like we're going to be there, or Forever Home. Or we could just talk about the fact that we have a Forever Home. So whichever way we want to go, we are so glad that heaven is real.
Amen.
Amen. And we've been talking about that for the last few weeks and all the different aspects of heaven. So we're going to go to Acts 1, where our dear friends were right before us here for a few minutes. But before we do, are we not so thrilled that God is answering prayer? And absolutely, these praise reports are rolling in. Pastor Jim, you want to talk about that? Because I love it that it's like this.
We had some great praise reports this morning.
Yes.
We've been praying for some family members, basically. I mean, some family members of some of our church family members.
Yeah.
And about just some medical issues that have been going on. And we got the reports this morning that the tests, some of the tests were normal.
Right.
And we've had no cancer. We've had threats, I guess you can call it threats of cancer.
Sure.
People were concerned they might have a growth that was cancerous. And nothing.
Right.
I mean, God is just doing some mighty works.
He is. We just keep hearing all the time about these answers to prayer. Today, already, there has been an answer to prayer for the brother-in-law of one of our good friends, and that arrhythmia has straightened out.
Right.
And that's another one of those issues on people's hearts we've seen. But you're right, on these people, so many that have had biopsies thinking there was cancer. We've seen a lot of that not materialize into cancer, right, Dr. Angel?
Absolutely.
And do you want to comment on that?
Oh, it has absolutely been amazing. And you're right. Prayers are definitely getting answered. God is alive and active and moving.
He is. And we celebrate him, and we love just to come in here on Sunday afternoons and do this show week after week. And so join us as we get through this show and just perhaps some amazing... No, not through it. We're not done, no.
As we get through.
No, I didn't mean it that way. As we go through this show is kind of how I meant it. And because we have some amazing music coming up, and we really want to talk about the greatness of God, how it affects us today as we are heaven-bound, and what Pentecost Sunday has to do with all of that. So let's start with prayer. Dear God, we thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus for what you're doing in each of our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the ability to be on the air and to talk about you, your greatness, your power, your amazing answers to prayer that you bring us continually. We thank you, God, that you are alive and well and working in our lives on a daily basis. And so, Lord, for our listeners today, let today's show not just be a teaching tool for them to to learn more of the word, but just to draw closer to you, Lord. That is our goal, and that is what we want as we go through this show, because we want to hear more about what you can do in our lives, mighty God. What a joy and a pleasure to be working with you, mighty God, in the next few moments. So God bless every listener, and we thank you for it in advance. So I think that today we're going to have a song here about heaven a little bit. Why not have a song about heaven? And it's one of Nan's favorites, I think, and it's Days of Elijah. So it's kind of cool. Wait a minute. That's our song. That's our wrong one. Let's push the right button. There we go.
That's the right one.
There we go. Days of Elijah.
Days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sore, are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. So lift your voice in the year of Jubilee, out of Zion's hills of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are white. Yeah.
with us right now, who was and is to come, and that is all about Jesus. Oh, he was from the beginning. There really was no beginning, right? He was, who was, and is. He's still working today in our lives and is to come. And someday he is coming back. We're going to the first chapter of Acts, if you have your Bible. Let's go there. And let's talk about, and PJ, I'm going to let you start just telling us a little bit in the first five verses why this is so important today of all days.
Well, today we celebrate Pentecost. And I was just going to say, it's great that you did Days of Elijah, because it's also, this year, both Pentecost and the Christian celebration and the Jewish celebration end up this year on the same day.
Oh, wow.
So that was great that you played Days of Elijah.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is, the first chapter of Acts is in between, well, it starts out with Jesus' final instructions to the disciples, and his ascension into heaven, and then what the disciples did afterwards. And Jesus promised, he told them to wait in Jerusalem until the promise of the, until they receive the promise of the Father. And then he tells us what it is. I just love this, because I recently read this,
too.
And it's like,
it's great.
How you cannot see this in there, I don't know. But he says, wait for the promise of the Father, and this is what it is. John immersed you or baptized you in water for repentance. But you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And the disciples still had that earthly sort of mindset, because they said, well, does this mean you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus said, okay, first off, no. It's not for you to know the times when that's going to happen. It will happen, but not yet. But then he says, but you will receive power.
Power. Why do we need power? Power. Woo!
Because without it, I mean, well, Jesus explains, you will receive power to be my witnesses, first in Jerusalem and Judea, then Samaria, then to the ends of the earth.
Right.
We can't witness without that power.
Exactly.
I mean, it's Jesus said in John, you know, when the Helper comes, the Holy Spirit, he'll give you the words to say.
Right.
He said at the end of the Gospel of Mark in chapter 16 that these signs will follow them that believe.
Right.
And then in Mark 16:20, Mark wrote that the apostles went everywhere, the Lord working with the word and performing signs and wonders.
Right.
So he confirmed his word. He worked with the word. He confirmed the word with that same power.
Absolutely.
That's why we need that. We have to have that power. It's power to witness, power for victorious living, power to live in this world every day.
Oh, absolutely. And these disciples had just gone through a real traumatic event by, here's Jesus, their Messiah, their master, their teacher, hung on a cross. And then, of course, the resurrection comes. And then there's 40 days where Jesus is walking around in his resurrected body, probably blowing their minds. We know at one time it says, appeared to more than 500 people in in his resurrected body. So there was so much going on right now. And it's almost like they were waiting, anticipation. What are we waiting for? Something, this is huge. And then they go out to this mountain right before he leaves. And they find out he's not going to be sticking around, you know, with them. He's going back to heaven. And this whole series is Forever Home. It's about heaven, that heaven is real. Dr. Angel, don't you find a lot of people are skeptical in this day and age about heaven, about eternal life, about our reward, where we're headed, all of that?
Absolutely. There's a lot of people who are very skeptical when it comes to the afterlife, heaven, what's going to happen to them. That's where a lot of fear is based, because they're not sure, should I believe it, or is this a fairy
tale? That's right, exactly. And so they get to thinking, okay, I don't know about this. And those are religious fanatical ideas, to think that we can be powerful right here in the here and now, and that there is something after this. And this is common thinking around that I don't know about that heaven stuff. I think this is just about all there is. And we've been doing this series to debunk those those thoughts, those ideas that are widely circulated, that this is all there is? Because this is not all there is. And for the disciples, it certainly was not all that there was for them this day when they go to the mountain with Jesus there, not knowing what was about to happen. Talk about blowing their minds, Pastor Jim. I mean, this is really pretty cool how he set it up, because it wasn't something that he did in secret and suddenly he just disappeared, or, you know, he just moved away to another country, or people could say, oh, yeah, that Jesus, well, he's that, nah, that didn't really happen, or he's not around. Oh, you don't remember he died. But instead of something like that, he did something so amazing as to actually be lifted up from this little hill that they were all standing on. And in their plain view, he was lifted up into heaven. You want to comment on that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't do that in secret. And, you know, as we talked about in church this morning, I kind of picture not Jesus kind of rising up through the clouds or rising up on a little puffy cloud.
Right.
I think I really honestly believe that's talking about the glory cloud.
Yes, yes.
Because, and I found that scripture, it's Matthew 24:30. You shall see the Son of Man coming in
clouds of glory.
With all his angels and great clouds of glory.
Yes, yes.
And so, and, you know, then Jesus gets lifted up in this, and I think it was probably a big old fiery cloud.
Okay.
That took him up. And I can just imagine the disciples, holy moly. I mean, watching this thing thinking,
holy moly. I'm sure the disciples said that, Angel. The holy moly.
Yeah, well, they would have said it. I'm sure they would have said it in Aramaic.
Right, in Aramaic, yeah.
But just probably amazed. And then,
oh, yes.
All of a sudden, your favorite word, suddenly.
Yes, my favorite
these
word.
Two men appear. And I mean, because they get the idea just from the way it reads. Because the men are, I believe, angels because they're clothed in white.
Right.
Why do you keep staring up at the sky? I mean, it's like, were they staring because they couldn't believe he's gone, that Jesus is gone? Were they waiting? Were they looking for him to come back right then and
right
there? And the angel said, why do you do that? He's going to come back just the way you saw him go.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Acts 1, verse 9. Well, let's go with verse 7 and 8. We got to start there. He told them, you don't get to know the time, because they said, are you going to restore the kingdom of Israel now? They thought this was a political kingdom. He said, wait a minute. Timing is the Father's business. What you'll get, because Jesus said, wait here, because you're about to receive this amazing gift. And really, they thought that this was a political event that's going to take place, like an overthrow of Rome. They thought they were going to be a part of that.
Can I jump in? Okay.
You can.
And I think it's important here. Jesus didn't say, no, there's not going to be a kingdom, a restored kingdom. He only said the times are in the Father's hands.
Right.
I believe means, yes, in the millennium,
yes,
Israel's kingdom will be restored.
Absolutely.
And, yeah. I mean, it hints at it right here. Jesus didn't say, oh, no kingdom, no nothing. He just said it's in the Father's timing.
He does say it's his timing.
Wait for the Father to do it.
Right. And we got to talk about that for a minute, Angel, because so often we get so preoccupied with timing in our lives. And we are creatures of, I wear a watch all the time. I mean, a lot of people don't. They just look at their cell phones. I do that too. But I mean, I like to be on time for appointments. I like to make sure that I'm somewhere where I'm supposed to be a certain time. And timing is so critical in our lives. And we expect God to just, boom, do what we want when we want it done in our time. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes, I do know what you mean. And a lot of people have that expectation. It's like, we know more than God, so, all right, God, I need this, and I need it by this time and this date, and that's not how God works, because his timing is perfect timing, but his timing is also for us to grow and to mature and to learn to trust him, and so...
Oh, that's the whole thing,
isn't
it?
That's the hard part, the trusting room, the waiting room of God's timing can be a very challenging place to be.
Can we quote you on that?
Yes, you can.
The waiting room of God's timing. And because of that, so often we misinterpret what we and we think something's going to work a certain way. And we get it in our head. God's going to do something this way. Okay? And Jesus says right here, wait a minute, you're not going to know the time. And so all these people that make money off of books and predictions about when Jesus is coming back should just quit wasting their time. Because timing is in the Father's hands. And even those things in our lives that we stress over and we wonder when this answer is going to come, when that's going to happen. I don't know about y'all, but I find there's lots of times in my life that I go, God, you know that I need this answer by tomorrow at noon, you know? You want to comment on any of that more further, Angel?
Well, you're right. I think, you know, time is very critical for us. We're very limited by time. And I think sometimes we feel like God's failed us because he didn't come through on the time frame or the way we thought it should be.
Right.
And yeah. We miss him sometimes because we're looking for him in a different direction.
Right. And yet through all this, Jesus is saying here, guys, you're going to get this amazing gift. It's coming. And it's coming soon. And he says, what you're going to get is the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be able, or it says in a lot of translations, you will have the dunamis, which is dynamite on the inside of you to be able to be my witnesses. And so often we struggle with trying to figure out, okay, God, well, Pastor Jim, you and I can relate to this. In college, we were in Campus Crusade for Christ, you and I both, Ball State. And we were taught the four spiritual laws and how to go approach people and to...
I was out there doing it before I really knew Jesus, so...
Just because it was the thing to do, right?
Well, because I was in Campus Crusade.
Right.
And thought I mean, at that point, yeah, I kind of made a commitment, but not a real commitment. So, yeah, you've got to have the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Because anybody, I mean, you can stand on a street corner and scream and yell, and I've seen that, too.
I have, too.
In fact, at Ball State, there used to be those two guys would stand out there and scream and yell at everybody.
Right.
And all that did was antagonize people.
Right.
I was trying to think of the right word. Because I remember people would scream back and...
Yeah.
It's like God doesn't want, if you read through the book of Acts, God doesn't want screaming matches.
No.
I mean, yeah, sometimes it erupted into violence, but it wasn't instigated by Paul.
Right.
You know, in most cases, Paul or Peter. They didn't instigate it. It just, the word itself, you don't have to scream and yell at people. The word itself is annoying enough to most people. To be quite blunt, I mean...
What do you mean by annoying, PJ?
Well, the word of God, the writer of Hebrews says, is sharper than any two-edged sword.
It is, Hebrews 4, yes.
I mean, it cuts.
Mm-hmm.
It cuts, and if you speak the word...
Right.
It's going to get, you know, it's going to cut, but the nice thing about the word is it cuts and it heals.
Yes.
I mean, you know, it'll show you your faults, and yet it'll show you the way... To have those faults forgiven, to have those faults taken away. But I mean, nobody wants, you know, unless you're saved, most people don't want to be confronted with the word. There's a scripture in, I believe it's Isaiah. And at that point, Isaiah was prophesying and he said, you know, prophesy allusions to us. Stop confronting us with the Holy One of Israel.
Right.
And that's kind of how I see the world today. Just prophesy wonderful, sweet things to us. We don't want to hear the bad stuff.
Right.
Don't confront us with the Holy One of Israel.
And I agree with you. I think a lot of people don't want to be thinking much about heaven, much about eternity, much about the fact that we're only here for a very short time, some of us shorter than others. And as a result of that, we got to get our priorities right, Angel. We got to get this thing figured out that it's more important that we operate under the power of the Holy Spirit so that what is said through our lives and through our mouths comes with a gentleness, a kindness, a wisdom that the Holy Spirit can bring.
Absolutely.
And change us with his dynamite power. It can be powerful, yet gentle.
Yes. It's perfect.
It is perfect.
You know, when we're led by the Holy Spirit. You know, oftentimes you'll see people who just go in their own strength and they're trying to, you know, tell people about the Word of God. And they actually just turn people completely away from it.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And, you know, the Holy Spirit's not like that. He brings to our remembrance what we need to remember, how we need to do it, when we need to do it. Like, mm-hmm. It's a power. It's a power that matures us. It's a power that increases our faith. It's the power that gets us through our struggles of life and everyday life. I mean, we can't afford to live without the power of the Holy Spirit.
And Jesus knew that he was getting ready to impart this amazing, wonderful gift. And he says to them, you know, don't go anywhere. Just hang around and wait, because this is coming. And so often we get so bogged down in our daily lives thinking that things can never change in our lives, that we cannot be one of those people that lays hands on the sick and they recover, or that we cannot speak life to individuals or pray for them and see cancer leave their bodies. And we think we are operating at such a deficit. And Jesus is saying here, you know what? You can have the dunamis, the power of God Almighty living on the inside of you, and look out for what might happen, because it's going to be amazing. You want to comment on that before we do this Danny Gokey song? Chris Tomlin, Danny Gokey.
It is definitely going to be amazing when, woo, you know, we have that power. And, you know, when you have it, you kind of look back like, how did I get through life without this?
Exactly. Impossible things. Mm-mm-mm. Chris Tomlin and Danny Gokey. Love this song. Sometimes I play it 10 or 15 times in a row in my car. That many. And by the 10th or 12th time, man, I'm singing.
You healed a broken hearted. You set the captive free. You lift the heavy burden. And even now you are lifting.
Impossible.
Yes, he does. All of that and more.
You are lifting me.
Even now, you're lifting me. That's what this is all about. Knowing that we have eternal life if we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that we have accepted him into our heart, that we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. That's Romans 10, 9 and 10. And when we believe all that, the next step is really saying, God, I need more of you. I want more of you. I want this dunamis power. I remember many, many years ago when I was 29 years old, and I began to say to God as a youth pastor, God, I know there's more. There's more out there for me. I don't know what it is, but I want to go deeper with you. I'm not content with just teaching the same stuff all the time. I want your word to come alive in me. And I began to seek God for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to be filled to overflowing with God. And this is what Jesus was talking about right here to the disciples. Just hang in there, because you're getting this amazing gift. He said, what you're getting is the Holy Spirit, and it's going to be dynamite.
Jesus told them, you're going to get this power.
Yeah.
You know, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and then you're going to be my witnesses. But I just don't think they knew everything that was involved.
Oh, no,
you know?
Of course not. No.
I mean, they'd had Jesus teaching them about the Spirit. But even looking back, I mean, I had a similar experience. I wanted more. And I had some friends that were charismatic.
Yeah.
They got me to read a book. And, you know, y'all know me.
We know you.
It's got to be in the Word, or I'm not going to.
Me too.
I ain't going to settle for it. And I'd study every little twist and turn. And yet, for me, it just was, I mean, it was kind of those verses in Acts. It's the promise of the Father. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We look later in Acts chapter 2, what happened. And I asked for it because I wanted to walk more deeply.
Oh, absolutely.
And I am so thankful, because I honestly believe that without having gone through that when I did, having not experienced the fullness of the Holy Spirit when I did, I'm not so sure I'd be here now because of everything that's happened.
Well, I hear you. I understand that. And so many people say, I've never heard of this. What are you talking about? And as we were just doing that song, so many people feel that this is impossible to really go deeper with God, or it's impossible to know more of the Word, or to feel the presence of God in a mighty way. And I remind everybody of John chapter 1, beginning about verse 31, when Jesus started walking down toward the Jordan River, and John the Baptist, which was actually his first cousin, as Jesus is coming towards him, John has a revelation that this is the Passover lamb. And he says in John 1:29, the very next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and yelled out, here he is, God's Passover lamb. He forgives the sin of the world. This man is I'm talking about. And then he goes on. He goes, this is why I came baptizing with water, giving you a good bath. And then he goes on, but this one will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is the one who left these parting instructions in Acts chapter 1 to the disciples. Hey, hang in here. Wait, because I've got this amazing surprise for you. And it's going to change your life drastically. You're going to be able to love with God's love. You're going to be, he didn't say this, I'm telling you what this is about. You're going to be able to love with God's love. You're going to be kinder. You're going to be so full of God that you care about others when they're hurting, and you actually pray for them and wake up in the middle of the night and pray for them because you care. You know, you're going to be so full of God, is what John was trying to say. Jesus is going to be the Holy Spirit baptizer. This is what Jesus said. And we know that Jesus was then taken up into heaven, and it says here suddenly there's two angels that are in robed in white saying, hey, what's going on here? What's wrong with y'all? You know, you're standing here looking up in the sky. That same Jesus that left you is going to come again. Woo!
Well, the promise of the baptism is in all four Gospels, and obviously, like we just read in the book of Acts. And, you know, it's something that can't be swept under the carpet, I guess. You know, we can't ignore that it's there. People will try and change what it means, you know, or the power involved in it, but that it's still there. You can't get away from it. And I think we just need to remember, too, the word baptize. And some translations do use the literal meaning, which is immerse.
Immerse, yeah.
You know, it's not, we were talking about baptism today at the little pitch-in we had after church. And I was saying, yeah, my first baptism, the minister took a rose and dipped it into a bowl of water and tapped me on the head with it.
Wow.
Which is why, really, when I came to really know Jesus, I knew, I better be obedient to God. I think I should be baptized again, because I'm not so sure the first one took. But, I mean, because the word literally means immerse, and it's like,
right,
a shipwreck that's waterlogged at the bottom of the ocean.
Right.
And that's how the Holy Spirit wants to be with us. We totally immersed and waterlogged, as it were, with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Soaked inside and out.
And what a change that makes. So Jesus says to them, stay here. Don't go anywhere. Don't leave Jerusalem, because your gift's coming. Okay? And in Acts 1:14, they agreed. So they get together, and this is about 120 of them. And it says they agreed they were in this for good, completely together in prayer. All these women were with them also. And there were about 120 in the room. And they were fasting and praying. And our dear friends, right, Truth Talk, right before this, were talking about that, times of fasting and prayer and seeking God. That's what these people were doing. And they did it for 10 days. And oh, was it not mightily rewarded in Acts chapter 2 on that day, which is celebrated today. This is Pentecost Sunday. They were all together in that one place. They didn't know this was coming, because it says without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind. Now we know the Holy Spirit is many times kind of typified by wind or a dove of peace. But here this big wind comes. Gale force, it says in the Message Bible. We're talking like a huge storm came, right? Doesn't say anything about rain. It says it was wind. And no one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. I'm in Acts 2, about verse 2 or 3. Then like a wild fire. Because see, that's the Holy Spirit, the fire of God within us. Like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that is that fire that absolutely comes in and begins to purify us and change us, talk to us, angel. Baptism of the Holy Spirit is a time when we begin to say, God, I want you to clean me up, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's Him giving us, you know, his power to do the impossible in our lives. You know,
right.
You know, oftentimes we go through our life and we use our humanly power to try and clean ourselves up when we recognize we have bad things. But it's the Holy Spirit that helps to clean us up. He cleans us up, and He's doing it progressively, and He's doing it continually, and He's giving us that power, that desire, that longing, the correction and the conviction that we need in our life to grow and mature.
Right. And a lot of times we don't even know we need it, right? We know something's missing. That's how it was for me. I knew there was something missing in my life. Just the talking and teaching as a youth pastor, the same stuff over and over again. And it's just like I was dry. I was spiritually hungry for more. You know, you want to talk about that, Angel? Because I know the same thing happened to you.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a life-changing event. I know in my life, it was the very thing that just gave me that thirst and that hunger for the things of God. And not just, you know, before that, I was more of an intellectual Christian. Like, I would read my Bible and I took God intellectually. That what became God came deeper and it became a part of who I am and my character and my longings and my desires. And it was no longer just about what he says in his word, but how he walked with me through my life.
Yeah, it becomes personal, doesn't
it? Yes.
Why is that so important? I'm just going to ask you that again. And I know you're trying to eat that snack. I saw it right there, but that's okay. Answer that. Why was that so important to have this power of God Almighty on the inside of you, helping you through a day?
It's what gets you through.
Right.
It's what keeps us focused on what is to come. It is what reminds us of the promises that God is giving us and has given us, and what reminds us of where our future home is and what our purpose and through God is. It's what keeps us going.
Why wouldn't everybody want this? Why? I'm going to ask both of you this question. First, I'm going to go to PJ. Why wouldn't everybody, knowing that this was possible, that they could be filled up to overflowing with the power of God, so that when they spoke, there was more presence of God in what they said? When they interacted with people, there was more of God's love, his kindness, his gentleness operating through them. When they thought about end of life, they would go, that's okay, I'm going to my heavenly home. Why wouldn't people want the assurance of heaven and the assurance that we could live victoriously in a much deeper level right here on this earth right now?
I think some people get just satisfied with the assurance of heaven. And, I'm muddled through somehow, whatever. A couple of things. I think on a very real level, we have to give up. It's not that we get more of the Holy Spirit with the Holy Spirit baptism. He gets more of us. And not everybody wants to give that up.
I love it when you say that. Would you explain that?
Well, when we get born again, we get all the Holy Spirit there is. I mean, he comes and lives inside of us. When we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's like what Jesus was saying about those rivers of living water gushing out from our innermost being and flooding the rest of us. The rest of our, you know, out of our spirit, into our soul, into our body. And it's like, again, we get waterlogged in the Holy Spirit. But that means it's like displacement. Some of my desires, my wants, my bad stuff, got to go, you know? And like Angel was saying, we can't do that without the power of the Holy Spirit. I had some friends in Indiana that tried to clean themselves up before they received the Holy Spirit. And it's like, that's futile. You can't clean yourself up enough to get saved. You can't clean yourself up enough to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Really good point.
But I think people are kind of afraid because it means you're turning over more of your life
right
to God. You're turning over your future.
Yes.
Because if I I got heaven, so that's, you know, I'll give God eternity.
Right.
But between now and then, no, I got to be in charge.
I got to do my thing. Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're giving up, usually little by little, because, you know how we humans are. But you're giving that control over to
God.
That's
right.
And the glorious part of that is, I mean, I know in my life, when I try and hold on,
right,
things just get crazy worse.
Yes, they do.
And when I let go, even if they get crazy worse, it's in God's hands at that point.
This turning it over to him is such powerful thing.
But for some people, right, and you know, it's very scary.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I don't know what's going to happen. But the nice thing is, I don't have to. God
right.
already knows. And he's got me in the palm of his hand.
Oh, yeah.
It says in Isaiah, we're engraved in the palm of his
right.
hand. So I don't have to know
right.
everything that's going
yes.
to happen. I just have, my job is to trust that God has it under control and that he wants the best for me, and he's going to work it out for the best for me.
Amen. Same question to you, Angel. Why don't people realize how glorious it is to be so filled up with God and to have that heavenly assurance?
Well, I absolutely going to agree with Pastor Jim. It's that they don't want to die to themselves, their will, their thoughts, yeah. their dreams. But I think on top of that, I think there's a fear. And I think people are afraid of what would that look like to have that much God. That's too much God, or, you know, people think you're
so fanatical.
Yes. A Jesus freak.
Yeah. Yes, and they're afraid of it.
We think that about you, too. Both.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
we do.
That's good.
I know you think that about me, too. But you know what? That's a good thing, you know. We definitely think that about Nan. But, you know, when we are on fire, quote unquote, for the things of God, and we want to see people set free from their burdens and see them healed in their physical body and see them have meaningful relationships and all of that and have the healing process work, that's a blessing for people.
It's amazing. And I think for some people, there's a fear behind that.
Yeah.
That what will that look like? What will people think of me? Or, you know, just a lot of fear-based stuff going behind that that keeps them from pushing forward and really seeking the fullness of God.
Oh, so true. Cece Winans, let's hear this song. Make it yours right now. Holy Spirit, come fill this place. Make it yours. He can fill you, your place, right now, your heart. Love this song. Our hearts, mighty God, set our spirits free. Holy Spirit, come and work in me. Is that your desire this day? If it is, pray with us right now. Dear Lord, we just pray for these dear listeners who understand that you can so fill them to overflowing with your presence that they can definitely have more of you. that they can have strength for the difficult days, that they can have healing for their bodies, that they can walk in peace, that they can walk in love, that they can have more joy, that they can have more purpose and passion for their daily lives. Lord, for those right now that are in agreement with, yes, that's what I want. Lord, we pray for them, whoever they are scattered around this globe. We pray right now that you would just invade their space, mighty God, that you would just so fill them to overflowing with you that they would say, whoa, whoa, what was that? That they would understand that you're the Holy Spirit baptizer, that you would come and baptize them with your presence, with your blessed Holy Spirit, filling them to overflowing with you right now. Lord, whoever they are, wherever they are, they're your children and you know them. So we just commit this prayer into your hands for those that it will reach and those that it will touch. And we give you the praise and the honor and the glory right now. In Jesus' name, because you're still working in our lives in a mighty way. You're working, you're working, you're working. Woo, Nan, you got a poem during any of that? Yes. Whoa, let me get your mic on. Go ahead.
Holy Spirit will fill. No.
No. Okay. All right. It's not for now. All right. That's okay. It can be for another time. All right. So in all of this, Angel, when we get this excited, excited maybe isn't the right word, this aware of God is doing something new in me, in you, when we begin to feel that, when we begin to see that in our lives, what happens? What changes do you have? What changes happen to you? Let's make it personal.
Oh, absolutely. Well, the changes, wow. Lots of changes happen. First and foremost, I feel more safe and secure when I know, as my faith grows, and I know that God is in control and God, you know, is making the ways that are perfect. And I just need to be willing to be patient.
Yes.
And listen. And that's important. Like, I don't feel as anxious of, you know, what my future is going to be
right.
Like.
Yeah. It just comes and settles you down to the presence
it
of God
sure
in
does.
Your life.
It's the peace.
It's the peace.
It's walking every day with peace and with power. It's,
well, we don't
amazing.
Have time to go into it right now, but in John chapter 14, Jesus told the disciples, I'm going to send you a friend. And that's who he is. He's the, and the Greek word there is parakletos, which means seven different things, but your standby, your intercessor, your helper, your comforter. I have them written down in my Bible. But anyway, this is the essence of God coming alive in our lives through that baptism of his presence, Pastor Jim.
Amen. Amen. And yeah, that kind of goes along with, you know, what's helped me is like, you know, the helper, the counselor, basically
yes.
our lawyer, our intercessor.
Yes, our advocate. Yes.
Because, you know, and I've just read this morning, Romans chapter 8, the Holy Spirit intercedes for us.
Yes, I was reading
because
that too.
Because, we don't know. Some translations, how to pray or what to pray. I think it's probably both. There are times we don't know how or what to pray.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit can guide that. And I don't have to know what it is.
Right.
Just that I'm praying it and letting the Holy Spirit intercede. I mean,
that's it.
That's a wonderful thing. I've got somebody who's not only walking alongside me, but inside me.
Right.
Who goes before the Father in my behalf.
Absolutely wonderful.
I know. It's just incredible. Huh. And like Angel, it's like you become more aware of that.
Yeah, you do.
I mean, it was about a year in between when I got saved and when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And people thought I was crazy before.
Yeah.
You know, after that October day, people really thought
they
I was
thought
nuts.
They thought you were nuts.
Because,
me too.
Well, and I think part of it is then, too, just the caricature that a lot of people, now, mind you, this was over 40 years ago. This is 45 years ago. But at that point, the caricature that people had of people who were Pentecostal, who were filled with the Holy Spirit.
Right. They thought we were all weird.
Well, yeah. And we were kind of talking about that this morning
mm-hmm.
at lunchtime. I know my father did. My father was about ready to disown me because his only contact was with a very, I mean, a coworker of his. His mother went to a Church of God of Cleveland, Tennessee church, and they're pretty wild.
Yeah.
You know, I have to say, I've been to some of those meetings. They're pretty wild. But that was his only idea of what it was. And that's not the kind of, you know, that's not the kind of church that I was used to going to. Was that wild. But still, you know, I spoke in tongues. We prayed for healing and all this other fun stuff. And, but, so I think people were afraid of it, too.
Sure.
It's like all they know is holy rollers.
Yeah.
You know, I can sit here and say I'm proud to be a holy roller.
Right.
Not that I've ever rolled, but I have danced in the spirit, so.
Right. We've seen it. You're great. Well, we're coming up on top of the hour. I can't believe it. Angel, talk about our Thursday night show, the one with you and me, Dr. Angel and Mama Mac. My other name.
Thursday night here on this radio station at 6:06 is Go Yard, featuring Dr. Angel and Mama Mac. It's a positive psychology kind of life coaching show. You know, you can participate, call in, and as we help explore ways to just get through life every day.
Right. And don't we love doing it?
We really do. Really, we love it.
We do love it. And we do. We just get so excited about our shows. We after a show, especially the ones we wing, and we never know where we're going and wherever we end up. But we walk out of here high-fiving ourselves, you know, like, oh, wow, that just worked out. Because really, the Holy Spirit's guiding, even though it's a counseling show and it's not a religious show, it's a self-help type thing. Still, God is guiding those shows, and it's a blessing to be able to do those. Pastor Jim, talk about the prayer line real quick before we get up here on top of the hour.
We have a prayer line. You can email us, prayers, P-R-A-Y-E-R-S, at bohmglobal.com. Please email us your prayer requests, no matter how great, no matter how small. We get answers.
We do.
You know, praise
God.
I'm not boasting.
It's not boasting.
We believe that God answers prayer, we have seen it happen.
Right. Over and over again.
And what we'll do is send out your prayer request to our prayer team, and we'll all pray for you.
Right.
And the only thing we ask is that when God answers your prayer, let us know, because I keep track of all that.
Yeah. We'd love to get those prayer praise reports this morning at the beginning of the service were just over and over and over and over. It was just like crazy, crazy good. So don't forget our Thursday night show, Go Yard is the name of it. It means hit a home run with Dr. Angel and I at 6:06 p.m. every Thursday night on this station. Also, prayers.